evening, everybody, and welcome to In the Studio with LSC. This is Linus, your host, and we're so glad you were able to make it with us this Sunday. And thank you so much for joining us here on In the Studio with LSV. Used to be known as Talk to Me. Our new show title now is In the Studio with LSV. On the air with Linus right now, the host, our co-host is Vernice, and of course our producer and switchboard operator, Ms. Chauvinet.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so tonight our subject matter is going to be about candidates and gun control. And Chauvinet is going to be leading that discussion this evening. So we'll just, you know, pipe in as she goes along with our opinions and comments regarding that. Other than that, at this time, we are waiting for Vernice to call in. If not, I shall begin entertainment news. So okay, everyone, thank you for your patience. Well, as you know, oh, listen, the music is coming back on. How about that? Okay, a little bit of technical problem. Okay, we are back on board again. Thanks again for your patience. Well, this week in entertainment news, let's get right to it. It's about Bobby Christina and what's happening with that. So, who is making money off of Whitney Houston's death? Well, all fingers are pointing right now, y'all, to Pat Houston. Pat Houston is married to Whitney's brother, Gary. She also served as Whitney's manager. To what extent, we don't know. Pat Houston is being blamed for taking the infamous casket photo and selling the photo to the tabloids for thousands of dollars. Y'all know Sissy was really pissed about that.
Anyway, she did that? Or who did that?
Pat Houston did. Whitney's sister-in-law.
She was the one that took the pictures
of
her?
She was the one that took the picture of her in the casket and sold it to the tabloids.
See, I didn't know it was her. I heard about it. I just didn't know it was her.
And then she lied about it to begin with. You know what I'm saying? She lied and because Sissy went around to all the family members after the funeral when it all came out, you know, in the tabloids, and everybody said, no, no, it wasn't anybody in the family, and here was her daughter-in-law. Ain't that a mess? I know, that's some bullshit
too bad
there. So anyway, like I said, Sissy confronted Pat about it and told her she needs to donate that money to charity and save the family from the embarrassment, of course, of her actions. Everybody trying to make some money, y'all. So during the Oprah interview with Whitney's daughter, ain't that the truth, Bobby Christina, over 3.5 million people watched. There were products placed around the house because Pat Houston made deals on those products. That a bitch. She has been making deals since the death of Whitney Houston over a month ago. During an interview with Oprah, she said she was mad at who published the casket photos, not at who took the photos. What is going on here, y'all? Comment. And then, let me see, I wanted to check back, make sure that we weren't missing Miss Vernice. Also in Bobby Christina news, meanwhile, Bobby Chris is going to have to be watched. She wants to change her name to Christina Houston as she distanced herself from her father, Bobby Brown. Bobby Chris wants to embark on an acting and singing career. She is also getting very close to her unofficial adopted brother, 22-year-old Nicholas Gordon. He was unofficially adopted by Whitney when he was 10. He and Bobby Chris are very close and have acted in a matter that is not brother and sister like. Bobby Chris is in a state of turmoil since her mother's death. She's been leaning on Gordon for support, but he has taken advantage of her for his own financial gain, maybe.
This little
friends
this
are
brother
also,
is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
His play brother, adopted brother. Let's see. Friends are also worried about Sissy Houston, Whitney's mom. The family betrayal has torn apart her heart. Bobby Crisp won't stay with her in New Jersey. Sissy feels with Bobby Crisp being in Atlanta, the influence of the wrong people will come into the mix. Well, you know, that's where Whitney's house is. That's where they were living. You know, her main house was in Atlanta. That's where she stayed.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Even when her and Bobby Brown were married, that's where she lived, in her Atlanta house.
Oh.
I think that house is paid for. Meanwhile, Bobby Brown has just returned from Africa with New Edition. He is very hurt by the actions of his daughter and how people are trying to drag his name through the mud. So far, he has been quiet. But when he opens up, what will he say?
It ain't all Bobby.
Inquiring minds definitely would like to know.
Hmm.
Okay, well, y'all, last note on Whitney. She'll be on the cover of the Essence and the Ebony magazine for April, so look out for that.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, it's dedication. You know, the commemorative issues, I'll put it like that. So now, and getting to some Scoopy Scoop, Fantasia.
Now what with this child?
This should be a happy time for singer Fantasia, but it's not, y'all. The former Idol winner gave birth to a beautiful baby boy named Dallas in December. You know that. She was hoping to get money for the exclusive first baby photos, but because she is involved in a scandal having a baby by a married man, there were no takers. I guess not, Fantasia. Give me a break.
Yeah, come on.
No, but I mean, come on. You need to have a husband legally. Fantasia is also dealing with the fact that her married boyfriend is not trying to divorce his wife. Antoine Cook has been secretly trying to reconcile with his wife, Paula Cook. Fantasia is doing everything to get Antoine back. She is already back to work. She's doing shows and trying to bring in some money, but friends say Cook lost interest in Fantasia when the money trouble started. Yeah, thank. Fantasia's in the breadwinner for her family, but she needs a hit record and some deals. She has begged Cook to be more patient. She's lining up deals to bring in more money, but Cook won't let his wife go. Hello. What is Fantasia going to do, y'all? Can she hold on to her family and this man? Well, in more Fantasia news, a North Carolina church wants to have a talk with her and her manager. Harvest Family Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, gave Fantasia's manager $15,000 check for her performance at the church, and Fantasia never showed, y'all. Okay, the church wants their money back. Okay,
wow.
And not a good look to have a problem with the church, Fantasia. Just to let you know, girlfriend. Just to let you know.
Too bad.
So
bad.
Well, here's something. Lionel Richie is coming to TV. Richie will be one of the hosts of ABC's new reality singing shows, Duets. Does this sound familiar? Richie will star along with American Idol winner Kelly Clarkson, singer Robin Thicke. They will be traveling across the country looking for undiscovered talent. The show debuts this summer. This summer is going to be exciting for Richie. He is being inducted into the Apollo Theater Hall of Fame.
Amen.
Congratulations. The late Etta James will also be inducted with Richie. They are in good company with previous inductees Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, and Patti LaBelle. Well, congratulations to both of you, Lionel Richie and Etta James, because I know it is most deserved.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And at this time, we're going to take a break. And when we come back in about 5 minutes, we're going to see what Shaw has to say about the weather. I mean, not the weather. Listen to me, the weather. It's been raining and ice, snow, hell, I don't know, y'all. Washington has been having some remarkable weather, but also strange weather, okay? So I'll just put it like that. But anyway, enjoy the music for about 5 minutes, and we'll be back shortly. And thank you for listening to In the Studio with LSB. Yeah, we were sexually.
Yeah.
And we're back in the studio with LSV. Thank you for returning and listening to the show. That number is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. And Chabonet's up on deck. What's going up with the sports this week, Chabonet?
Lennis, is Chabonet there?
Yes.
This
Hello?
Is Bernice. Is Chabonet there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Lennis was talking to you, babe.
Okay, no, I hear you. I was saying that we had you on the line now, so I wanted to make sure we heard you.
Yes, I'm on the line. Sorry about that, people.
Oh.
I got carried away.
Oh, that's fine. Well, as I was saying, so you didn't hear me, I said we're in the studio. Welcome back, everybody, with LSV, Lennis, Chabonet, and Bernice.
Oh.
And Chabonet is going to come with us now. She's on deck with the sports. So
I'll be with the sports in just a minute. I'm going to do the news of the weird first.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry about that.
So news of the weird of this week, just a couple of short stories. John Morgan, 34, was charged in February in Port St. Lucie, Florida, with embezzling over $40,000 from a trust fund that had been established for his daughter, who has special needs because of cerebral palsy. Because of the theft, she is unable to have dental work necessitated because a care provider failed to lock her wheelchair, sending her sprawling face first.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Because of this jerk-off for taking $40,000 from her trust fund. So, yeah, he'll be burning in hell.
Yes, he will.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Police officer Skeeter Manos, 34, was charged in February in Seattle with embezzling over $120,000 from a fund for the families of four colleagues who have been shot to death in the line of duty. Manos alleged expenditures included several trips to Las Vegas. Now, we all know that the four officers that were killed by Maurice Clemens, I believe, what was that, 2 years ago? This was a fund that was set up for the families of these four officers that were killed in the line of duty. And he embezzled the money from this fund for himself, not just trips to Las Vegas, but to pay off credit cards, to buy things for his house. It's like, how low can you go? You took money from your four fellow officers. These are supposed to be your brothers and sisters, from their families.
It's amazing what money can make you do, huh?
It's very true. And whatever they throw at him, I hope they throw the book at him.
Well, you know what? He can't even say desperation, because desperation, he would have covered whatever he needed to and left it alone. He got greedy.
He got greedy.
He kept doing it.
That's right. He kept on doing it, yep.
So he can't even say, oh, I was on hard times and I was desperate and stuff. Well, okay, why did you continue to do it? You didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
You didn't care about the families, the children, or those slain officers. All you cared about was yourself, serving thyself.
That's bad.
Yeah, after he was shot, I hope they throw the book at him, make him an example.
They should throw him under the penitentiary, okay? And that's Leavenworth Penitentiary, too. Not the regular, just Leavenworth, okay? The federal penitentiary.
Definitely, because this, wow. I mean, it was despicable to hear that. Just despicable.
Yes.
And people with issues, what do you mean I'm not mentally stable? Is the comment from Ms. Fawcett Ogunbio, 46 years old, filed a federal lawsuit against New York City's Administration for Children's Services because it had taken away her kids, ages 13 and 10 at the time, in 2008 for questions about Ms. Fawcett's mental stability. The lawsuit for reckless disregarding her right to family integrity asked the city to pay her $900 trillion.
Wow.
Shit. I mean,
she is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And under the least competent people, LaDondrell Montgomery, 36, had been sentenced in November in Houston to life in prison for armed robbery despite his vigorous protestation of innocence. About a week later in December, he was exonerated, in fact. Although he had testified at his trial, he had not mentioned that he had an ironclad alibi, that he had been in jail during the time the robbery was committed. Once jail records were reviewed, Montgomery was freed. The prosecutor hadn't checked the records before trial, and neither had Montgomery's attorney. But neither had Montgomery ever mentioned it because he had told his lawyers he had been in and out of jail so many times in his life that he just couldn't remember if he had been locked up at the time of the armed robbery.
Damn.
Oh,
damn.
They were all horrible. All horrible.
Wow.
Talk
I'm
about
like, crazy.
Change.
And an annual spring fertility festival in Vietnam's Phu Tao province is capped by a symbolic X-rated ceremony rendered G-rated by wooden stand-ins. At midnight on the 12th day of the Lunar New Year, a man holding a wooden phallus-like object stands in total darkness alongside a woman holding a wooden plank with a hole in it, and the act is attempted. As the tradition goes, if the man is successful at penetrating, then there will be good crops. Following the ceremony, villagers are ordered to go and be free, which, according to a February report by Tan Ni News Service, means uninhibited friskiness during the lights-out period. You know what, Ben? You don't need all this just to get y'all freak on. Let's just keep it real. You want to get down with no consequences, just do it.
Let's just do it, huh?
Yes, I said, oh boy. Then, in cultural diversity, in the remote state of Meghalaya, India, a system endows the women with wealth and property rights and regulates the men to slow-moving campaigns for equality. A men's rights activist, interviewed by BBC News in January, laminated even the language's favoring of women, noting that useful nouns seem all to be female. The system, he said, breeds generations of men who feel useless, fall into alcoholism and drug abuse. In maternity wards, he said, the sound of cheering greets baby girls, and if it's a boy, the prevailing sentiment is whatever God gives us is quite all right. One woman interviewed said meekly that he likes the current system, or at least that's what his wife's translation said he said. Now, that's very, very different because usually in India or a lot of, I should say the Muslim country, the men are, revered very highly. It's the women who are secondary. So to hear the woman is number one and the men is secondary, quite different.
Yeah, that's a big switch around, huh?
Yeah, it is. That's, I guess.
Talking like that, because isn't the Samoan culture as well, the women are the leaders?
I think that's
No,
Samoan
the men
culture.
Are the leaders, but the women run it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The men are revered as kings, but like the household, the women run it. But overall, the men shine. You let the men shine. I'll say it like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ain't going to dip into that one too much because I really don't know about these new cultures. These cultures outside of my culture, so I'm not going to act like I know something when I don't,
Oh, no. Each culture is different, because in the Asian culture, the men are number one, will always be. Heck, they used to kill their children if they had girls, if the firstborn was not a boy. So, it's just to each his own. That's all it is. So that's it with News of the Weird. And for all you NCAA tournament watchers, if we have all caught the Sweet 16. Damn, I didn't realize it went by that fast.
It's going by fast.
Yeah, University of Kentucky beat Iowa State 87-71. VCU lost to Indiana 63-61. Baylor, 80 beat Colorado 63. Xavier and Lehigh play tonight at 8 o'clock. Syracuse beat Kansas State 75-59, Wisconsin beat Vandy 60-57, and Cincinnati and Florida State play tonight at 5:40 p.m. And sorry, my Gonzaga fans and alumni, you lost to Ohio State.
They lost, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
66-73.
Yeah. Yes. So far the four teams going to the Elite 8, and that is the last, the 8 remaining teams that head down to the Final Four, which will take place in New Orleans this year. Mm. University of Kentucky will play Indiana. Syracuse will play Wisconsin. Whoever wins between Cincinnati and Florida State, will play Ohio State, and whoever wins mm-hmm. between Xavier and Lehigh will play Baylor.
Wow.
And the South Elite Eight will take place in Atlanta, and the 4 East Elite Eight will take place in Boston.
Mm, okay.
So pull for your teams. I don't know who's going all the way, but good luck. And if anybody saw the upset between Lehigh and Duke, it was a fabulous game.
Yes,
it was.
That was the upset of history.
That took place in the third round. It was sick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, whoo, even if Lehigh doesn't go all the way to the championship, you could always say you were one of the teams that beat Duke. I mean, come on, that's glory right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. So, all right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get into our GOP candidates, because we all know Obama's going to be running. Not saying mm-hmm. Democrats can't throw in their hat if they don't want to, but it's more of a common courtesy. Your president who's running will run again, and that will be President Obama. But we'll get into our GOP candidates and gun control, because, it's too much crime, too many lives being taken, especially the kids with guns. So we need to work
mm-hmm.
on something, people.
Something's got to take
place
care of here. Yeah,
it's got to. So we'll be back in 5.
Just you and me.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And Chauvinet, did you want to lead the discussion, or how are we going to do this, darling?
Okay, well, we're talking about the GOP candidates, and if you don't know who that is, that's Mitt Romney. What's his name? I can never say his name.
Santorum.
There you
go. Santorum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul. Those are the last four GOP candidates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? Would you like for me to run through and give everybody just a little quick background on each one?
Well, yeah, and the reason we were pulling the GOP candidates was to look at, because our other subject tonight is gun control, and we were trying to tie in to see with all the violence going on with guns at this time, especially with the youth, what their viewpoints were. And they really are not campaigning that.
No,
as they travel, now they are all for the Second Amendment. You know, that's just, not saying that's always GOP, because there's plenty of Democrats that are for the Second Amendment, but they do promote, of course, more safety laws for Americans to deter this violence with the children or just innocent lives, period. But they're really not talking about it.
No, they're not. I was surprised, too, because I just knew they was going to talk about it, but they didn't.
Well, I did too, especially with gun violence right now really increasing.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, just daily it is increasing. The rates of
the
statistics are getting higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think this is something you want to jump on right now. And no. I mean, you have to admit, even Obama, I really haven't heard him talk about it. I've heard him send condolences, but I haven't heard him talk about it.
I haven't either.
No.
I'm thinking they don't even want to touch that right now. They just want to get on the parents who's laying these guns around, and if they had stuck to the law and stored them guns in a safe place, unloaded, those kids wouldn't have never been shot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the gun, the bullets should have been in a different area altogether as far as storage is concerned. And that boyfriend of that woman, of that child with that backpack in school and killed and shot that little girl, what was he thinking about, you know?
Being in the house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The
9-year-old
who shot the young, the girl, Bremerton girl, Amina Corser Bauman, who's still in the hospital.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
thank goodness she's up walking around now. She's doing pretty good. She's off the respirator. So she's slowly but surely doing really good on that score. So I'm happy about that.
Exactly. No, and that is true. It's, thank goodness she is. She'll be having a few more surgeries.
Yes.
Coming up, but yes, it's a blessing that young girl is alive, and that 9-year-old has now been placed on probation. I'm not quite sure how many years, and you know, hopefully he'll receive the counseling he needs.
Against the mom and the mom's boyfriend.
Yes, and the most they would get at this time would just be a gross misdemeanor, because it's just based off of negligence.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but the legislator is considering revising the law so there could be felony charges brought against people who are negligent when it comes to guns in your household, or at least around children.
Right, right. Or even, because with the boyfriend, the gun was left in the car. And I don't know what they thought, that they didn't think the kids was going to jump around. I mean, what did I do at that age? Was I sitting down in the car waiting for mom and dad to come? No, I don't think so.
No,
you
exactly.
You know what I mean, people? You know what I mean? I'm going to look and see what I can get into. That's the nature of the child.
And that was
it's
the Tacoma.
True.
Go ahead.
Go
mom.
Ahead, hon.
Oh, no.
Go
the
ahead.
Story that Mama Ron's talking about is a 3-year-old in Tacoma that killed himself. Apparently, the mom was in the convenience store. The boyfriend got out the car to pump the gas, left his gun in the seat.
I heard it was under the seat.
I'm not sure. Well, okay. I heard it was on top. I'm not sure if it's the driver or passenger side. And the three-year-old climbed out of his car seat. And anybody who's been a parent or who has driven a kid, you have to unbuckle a few things. You just don't crawl out of it unless you have put that child in this car seat half-ass. So if you put him in half-ass, maybe that's how he could crawl out. Otherwise, he's have to unbuckle. You're basically saying the child unbuckled himself out of this car seat, crawled over to the front, took the gun, and pointed it to himself and killed himself. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it just sounds suspect. And, again, why would you get out of the car and just lay it, even if it's underneath the seat? They now have, what do you want to call them, gun covers, I guess you want to say, or holders that you can put in your car that is protected. A kid can't get in it, and you at the same time can get to it if you need it, regardless if it's under your seat, if it's in your glove compartment, doesn't matter. It's in a gun carrier that a child cannot get into.
Okay.
So, and these are available at gun stores. People just need to buy them.
That's amazing.
But see, these are things we need to be talking about. Going back to... you know, the candidates, this is a hot subject right now. This is something that's going on nationwide. I mean, we've had back-to-back shootings in our state, let alone with kids and guns. But why is this not a hot button? Matter of fact, not even just with the candidates, with Congress, period. You know, I'm for the Second Amendment. I am. I support the Second Amendment. I do. I think Americans should have the right to bear arms. But at the same time, you need to be, you have to be responsible for it. You have to be responsible. And they need to promote that.
They should, and you know, even to start with our local legislatures and representatives and senators right here in Washington State, with all that's been happening to us since January, we have triple in crime as far as murders, triple since last year of 2011. That's a damn shame, and it's just now March, and we've tripled that. So come on, I mean, how come, I mean, because right now, quiet as it's kept, the Seattle police chief is kind of on the limb right now as far as confidence, whether the officers believe in him or not. You know, the same, there's another one at the Port of Seattle, that police chief is also on the limb. So, you know, where are our like I said, politicians stepping up to the plate and investigating this? Bring in a blue ribbon panel or a task force or whatever, but find out what's going on and correct the problem, especially among the youth. And these people that don't have the common sense to put a weapon in a safe place, and not only a child but anyone will not get harmed, your ass need to go to jail.
That's right. That's right.
You know what? You're,
they are breaking their backs to make sure that you want to keep your guns and keep them safe, and you won't even make an effort to do that?
Well, sure, because there is too many. I mean, come on. We just like Chauvinet said, we just had three cases here. This has got to stop. I mean, these little babies are killing each other or themselves, not even understanding the fear or the tragedy that comes along with even handling a gun, let alone shooting it. You know.
That's
so what is wrong? No, and then also, Chauv, you should touch on about that young man. Was that in Florida? The one that got shot and killed for Skittles and a pop.
Yes, the young man's name is Trayvon Martin, 17-year-old young African-American man. Matter of fact, he's not African-American. He's Hispanic.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, he was at his dad's house. He looks African-American, he does. Was at his dad's house in a gated community. His brother wanted some like little knickknacks or candy or something. So he walked to the store to get it. He's coming back home. The neighborhood watch, not security people, the neighborhood watch man, George Zimmerman, is following him. Like, he thinks he's suspicious immediately.
Right.
Calls 911 and says, you know, this black kid is being suspicious. I'm going to follow him. And the 911 dispatcher tells him, no, do not follow him. Stand down.
Right.
We'll send units out there. And he's like, it looks like he's saying these assholes, they always get away. And they have it on 911, him saying that. He then gets out the car. This is where you can only get his side of the story because the young boy is killed. But he apparently started chasing the boy. They get into a scuffle, and he kills this young man. But neighbors and witnesses heard the young man saying, help me, help me. And the night watch person, Mr. Zimmerman, tried to claim that it was him that was screaming it. It was not. It was the young man. And also the police department, I don't know if it's in the city or this county, has been corrupt themselves and have racist tactics or issues the way they deal with the community because they were already, how can you say, leading the neighborhood, Mr. Zimmerman, how to answer questions when he's being questioned by the detectives.
Oh, wow.
So they were really hoping this gets national attention because right now it was just in the Huffington Post, which is the black newspaper for us. But, New York Times got a hold of it, Miami Herald, and it looks like it is picking up everywhere now that people are putting it out there because they need the media attention in this. And this is one I actually think the NAACP and Urban League should get involved in because this is a young killing. I mean, this is an innocent young man that got killed for no reason. He got killed because he was walking, because he's black. And at first they were trying to say Mr. Zimmerman didn't have any he did not have a criminal history, but he does.
Ooh.
He has allegedly, or not allegedly, he has been convicted of assaulting police officers. And he's had complaints from his own community that he is too aggressive in the way that he handles the neighborhood.
They needed to get rid of him a long time ago. Now it's going to cost him some money. Because I hope that father sues. But I hope some laws, some laws be in place as far as community laws or county laws, that these little robo cops or wannabes that are not accepted into the academy for whatever reason, mentally or physical, they're not allowed to carry guns.
Right.
You're just out there with your little baton and call 911 and let the real police come in and take care of business.
Well, as a neighborhood watch, yes, because there are some security companies that where I used to live, the security officer had like a stun gun, had a had a Glock 9, had his bulletproof vest on, and I was talking to one of my best friends who's a police officer, do some of these security companies, when they are carrying a stun gun or a weapon, do they have to go through the same training as police officers? And she said yes. And they
have certain permits,
certain licenses, to carry that because, no, they're not an officer, but they are doing duties as an officer until they come.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have security officers who just carry a flashlight and take a report, and that's all they're supposed to do, and call the police, and then bring the police there. So security has different levels, and Neighborhood Watch, you are just watching your neighborhood, like you guys said. You know, you're taking pads, you got your little beret or whatever. Why are you carrying a gun on you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No. Even if you had a concealed weapons license on you to carry a gun, that is ridiculous to carry that gun.
Really?
But, it also you need to change laws and maybe not make guns so easy to purchase. Because I know for Washington State, to purchase a rifle or a shotgun, you don't need a permit. You don't even need to register a rifle or a shotgun.
That's right. That's crazy, huh?
Yep, you don't need a permit to purchase, you don't need to carry a permit, you don't need to register, none of that. Now, handguns, you don't need a permit because the police already have a record of any guns purchased from dealers. They have the registration, the license of the gun, but you do need to carry your permit for a concealed weapons license. And that is also through, goes to the police, Washington State. We have a 5-day waiting period for handguns, and they also run you through the the FBI National Instant Check System, which is NICS, to make sure you have the right to carry a gun. Because if you're banned from carrying a gun from any other state, that automatically declines you from getting a concealed weapons license here in Washington State.
That's right.
So, but put permits on all guns.
Thinking that they were supposed to do was put permits on guns.
No, just handguns. And I'm thinking, really? Because rifles and shotguns are just as dangerous.
That's what I was thinking.
And that's what people use in hunting. And look how many hunting incidents and accidents we have.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, It's just like the little girl, Gina Carlell, the little 7-year-old who died by the younger sibling that went into the glove compartment and shot her. And the officer is their father, and it was his gun.
Oh, you know better.
Yeah, it was a Marysville cop. It was his gun that was in the glove compartment. They were on their way to a wedding.
Was it his service gun or was it a private gun?
Yeah, I believe it was his service gun. They haven't quite said that. It's just speculation right now. But the sibling, went into the glove compartment because he was at a convenience store, got the gun for whatever reason, shot the 7-year-old and killed her right there.
Oh,
you know, as an officer, my heart goes out to the family. At the same time, as an officer, you know better. You know, and you don't want to say that because, of course, that's even worse. This man has enough to deal with because I know he's probably just kicking in his own self. But, you know, again, you as an officer, you know better not to leave a weapon like that. You know, you're supposed to keep them in your trunk anyway. Granted, I don't know how accessible that is if you get carjacked. Wait, hold on, let me walk to my trunk and I'll deal
with it. Wait a minute now, they do have cars, you know, where that back seat folds down into that trunk too. So.
And that's if you can fold your front seat back into the back seat and do all that. I'm just like, goodness gracious. But at the same time, you know, just be safe. Because I personally, I believe in having guns in the house. I grew up with it. I believe in having it myself. But you can guarantee when my nieces and nephews come over, one, they know better not to go in my bedroom. And two, everything is secure. There will not be an accident here.
And that's the way it should be, because she's right. They grew up, what you grew up with. We had a shotgun, 30-06. I carried a .357. Sherman had a .38. We never worried about them kids bothering them weapons. And they knew where they were because we told them. So there wasn't like, ooh, let's get curious and go through mom and dad's bedroom or something, you know. They knew where they were because we showed them and we told them, you mess with them, we'll be having your funeral. It's that simple.
And
that
that's what responsible parents should be doing.
Yeah, the guns were put up where the girls couldn't get to it, but the shotguns and the 30-06 were up against the wall in the closet. But we let them know, you know, you got to sit down and talk to your kids, too. If you have
that's
put the fear of God in them, then damn it, put the fear of God in them and let them know this is not a toy. And that's part of the problem. These kids are picking these little babies, I'm saying, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. They're picking up like it's a toy because they watch on cartoons. So you see, the parent has not sat down and told the child the danger of this weapon. You know, they say, oh, boy, Cowboys and Indians or Toy Story or something, you know.
They get shot. They'll come back alive. They're okay.
That's why I think the parents should be held responsible. I think 16 and up, you count on your own, but under 16 or at least 12 and under. 12 and under, I think you got to think about a gray area as far as, you know, what I want to say, not testifying, you know, making them go into the system.
What?
Registering?
You know what I'm saying? Well, 12 and under, because they don't, I don't think they really understand.
Oh, you mean
the
competent? The competency level?
Yes.
Oh, they have a psychic evaluation to see if they're
in prison. I think the parents should be liable for that 12. After 12, then, you know, the child needs to stand up and understand the responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they have it now. If is it 10 and younger, they do a psychic evaluation, like the 9-year-old that accidentally shot that 8-year-old girl. You know, they felt he was. He knew why he had the gun on him. They knew he was competent to understand that. And he didn't intend to understand her. So he had enough competency to understand what was going on, but not really all the legalities. Of course, at 9 years old, he wouldn't understand that, you know. And he understands what his actions has done to this young girl. But he had no idea it would go to the ramification that it did. You know, so some things he could understand, some things he can't understand at 9 years old. At 16, if you pull the trigger, you know damn well what's going to happen to that person.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, so there's no ifs, ands, or buts on that one. So, but, I agree with you. Parents should be held accountable. They really should. We didn't know. I mean, look how sick this was. The 9-year-old who got the gun from his mom, meth head mom's boyfriend, was some drug head or whatever, they knew what had happened. The little boy, the gun had went off. Do you know those two left and went to Phoenix or something for NASCAR, went on vacation, took off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard about that.
Now, see, that shows you what type of parent she is right then and there. And you actually, the state of Washington gave this woman visitation rights? Really?
I know. That was...
That's a whole other subject right there. But, you know, look at the situation. This might have been avoided.
It could have been avoided.
You know, I'm just saying, it might have. You don't know. You know, none of us know, but...
Well, you know, another case real quick, if we have time to talk about it, I don't know whether to put it under gun control or euthanasia, was a gentleman this past week that killed his wife because of the inoperable cancer brain tumor to give her relief.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that on the news.
And half a million dollars bail, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can understand it, but, you know, Shab and I, Vernice, we discussed it, and I said, I understand the legalities of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecute him because that's murder and it's premeditated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I also understand nobody knows. She even asked her husband to kill her. But I mean,
if
beyond
that,
nobody knows
with
them too how much she suffered with that brain tumor.
Right.
It was inoperable. The woman was in constant pain.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
And there's no
idea
how intense that pain was before he did what he did.
Exactly.
They only knew. They were the only two who knew how intense that pain was.
And the neighbors even said, you know, I mean, for me, I understand, yes, this was a gun situation, this was a shooting, but to hold this man at $500,000 bail, he's not a criminal. He's not a danger to the society.
Really.
You know, he's not. This man even sat for 2 hours before he even pulled the trigger. Their children, who are grown, they were there when she asked him to kill his wife. You know, when the wife asked him to kill her, and at that time he had, you know, the children was like, no, you know, don't do it, Dad, and he didn't want to, you know, but they all said they were a very loving couple. Yeah, so it looks like he has been released. He's, I don't know if they're saying his name. Oh, Donald McNeely, that's his name, 54-year-old Donald McNeely. And his wife, her brain cancer was untreatable. So.
Yeah, it was inoperable. That's all I was saying. It was an inoperable tumor. So she just had to suffer until she died. So, I mean, come on. What quality of life was that?
Yeah.
We do have euthanasia law here now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do have that now in the state of Washington.
Assist death? What is it? Assist something?
Yeah,
assisted
death.
Assisted death.
Euthanasia.
Uh-huh.
Assisted death,
yeah.
We do have that here. And then you got the guy that killed the 16 people over there in Afghanistan. Boy, United States, I just want to say this about that. United States damn near tell all their business, only in a few close, tight-knit circles, which is probably the military defense program, that you don't hear everything. They didn't show the man's picture. I mean, his wife and children are already in hiding. The government has, the military has put them in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the fear of their life. But now they showed us pictures like, okay, you don't, it's been on the news for 5 days. We know, blah, blah, blah. Why are you trying to bring the terrorists over here? Oh, now we know there's a picture of him. Let's see what base could he be at. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they got him out of that country as soon as possible.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
They did. They got him out very quickly. So he's good to go. I mean, at least safety-wise.
See, that's a problem I have, too. I have a problem with that. Why didn't they make him stand there and stand trial in Afghanistan? He killed their people.
That's
if it was United States and one of those people from, I don't care, Spain, Italy, Libya, or Sudan, if they kill somebody here, a United States citizen, they're going to stand trial here. They're not going to get swept away to their country.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's some, what is it, a consulate or something like that where they've got immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on. He needed to stay there in Afghanistan and stand trial in that country. You know he was going to die. He ought to know that anyway by now.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
He's
going to
survive.
Well, and this man had did four tours in
three
overseas.
Yeah.
And he
Yeah, three in Iraq and one in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
This, the last was Afghanistan, which was his fourth tour. That's another thing. The military, come on. How hard are you pushing our guys over there? I mean,
please.
I know Obama's been bringing them home, trickling in every now and then, you know, bringing some more home. But I understand we got 90,000 over there in Afghanistan.
Right.
Throughout Afghanistan, 90,000 military.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. That's right. And we're supposed to be down to how many by June? I can't recall. Spoke 10,000 or maybe 10,000 are coming home.
Well, that's out of Iraq. We're talking about Afghanistan now. That's where that soldier nutted up at.
That's where I'm going over there.
Also, make a good point about snapping, Shab. Make that point.
Oh,
remember
when people say it just... You don't just snap, and that's something anybody who's taken a few psychology classes or even read psychology books, you don't just snap. The signs are always there. It's just if they're detected or not. Some are, some are not. But you don't just wake up in the morning and say, hey, I feel like killing someone. No, you don't.
Right.
You know, it's either you've had a traumatic loss or you've went through something traumatic. And let's just say the soldiers over there in Iraq, they'll see things we'll never see in our lifetime. And maybe that takes a toll. Maybe their eating decreases. Maybe they're not sleeping as well. Maybe they're jumpy. But there are signs there that are leading up to that person just finally waking up and can't take it anymore. Now, I think there are exceptions to snap. If you come in and you see your spouse having an affair, boom, you kill him right there. That's snapping because that's just, murder by passion. And it's just, you snap right then and there. But something progressive like this man,
he got up and he was all ready and he walked so many miles, was it, to wherever those people were? Didn't he walk to there?
I know he got off base. I don't know how many miles he walked, and then he turned himself back in.
He had to do some walking or something or driving to get where he needed to go. So it's not like, you know, he snapped. The way for him to go.
Oh, it had been building up, not just that day, like probably every day. Excuse me, every day he's waking up, you're always hearing gunfire, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, you've lost your friends, maybe family. I mean, every day something was increasing on that man. And finally, you know, it came to a head that day where whatever, something else happened that day, and he was done.
Yeah. It triggered, as they say, it triggered it or put the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was it. Well, we're coming to the close of the show. My God, this was a good show today, ladies.
Yes, it was.
And
oh,
I do apologize for coming in late, you guys. I'm sorry I got carried away.
Oh,
I'm doing
worry
some
about
stuff.
It. Oh,
honey, I checked the time and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm late.
Well, you called in and that's what matters. Thank you.
Okay.
We had you covered, girlfriend. Don't worry about it. You know we got your back as always.
Well,
in
thank
the studio.
You.
Of course. In the studio with LSV every Sunday at 4 p.m. on your Blog Talk Radio dial. Be sure and tune in. And what is the show going to be about next Sunday?
Sports March Madness.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
March Madness next Sunday. All right, fellas. You know you need to call in. You got your picks or you think going to get down to the Final Four.
Have a great day, people.
There you
Good
go.
Night,
we love you.